take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter 4. The sermon this morning, I have two titles for it. One, two words, get wisdom. Get wisdom. The second title could be, where's the beef? Where's the beef? Romans chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. If you found Proverbs 4, look for verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Then stand with me, if you will, please. Proverbs chapter 4, I'll read out loud, and you can follow along silently. Starting with verse number 5, the Bible says this, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help us, Father, to understand the extreme importance of today's subject. God, there are a lot of good people in this room, a lot of smart people in this room. Well, Father, we don't need to just be good. We don't need to just be smart. Father, we need to be wise. And I pray that today, wisdom will be made premium in our thinking and in our lives. Please, Holy Spirit of God, exalt this quality that is your quality, the quality of spiritual wisdom, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse number 7, it says here that God says that wisdom is the principal thing. I wish I had 2 hours to say to you today what I want to say. I don't. So I'll minimize it, but I have to tell you, folks, in your lives, as your pastor, I get to touch your lives a little here and there, and for that I'm honored. If you were to say to me, preacher, what's a great need in our church right now? I would say one of the greatest needs in our church is that our people have wisdom. Wisdom. Folks, we can know things about life, but having the wisdom of God to be added to our knowledge makes all the difference in the world. I call the sermon, Get Wisdom, or Where's the Beef? When I was growing up, my dad was every bit a man's man. He did not wiggle when he walked, and he was a trucker, and it was very interesting growing up around him. My mom, when she would fix meals, my dad was a meat and potatoes guy, and y'all know what I mean by that. It was meat and potatoes. Now, if there were not potatoes, we'd still consider it a meal. But if there was not meat, no meat, no meal. In my dad's opinion, no meat, no meal. He didn't walk around and say, give me pasta, give me pasta, give me pasta. He was not like that. It was give me meat. Give me meat. He didn't see any sense in a whole lot of the rest of it. But you give me a chunk of meat and I'm a happy camper. No meat, no meal. You know, to my dad, that meat was a principal thing. It was a priority thing. It was pretty high on his list. Wendy's had a commercial years ago, I'm talking about Wendy's restaurant. And when they did their commercial, they had a bun, and it was a shot at their competitors where they had a big bun and a little patty of meat. And they would open it up and they would say, where's the beef? Where's the beef? Because everybody knows when you get a hamburger, you didn't order it to get the bun. That's just a handle that you grab a hold of to get down to the beef. Where's the beef? Why? Because that beef was primary. It was a big deal. Listen, God said wisdom is a big deal. If God were to look down at our lives and you say, well, I'm smart, God may say, yeah, but where's the beef of life? You say, what is that? the wisdom of God. You understand the wording that God used? He said, wisdom is the principal thing. Wow. There's an exaltation of that word wisdom there. God's saying that's a pretty big deal. You want to get wisdom up there at the top of your list. It's the principal thing. He said here, get it. Get this thing called wisdom. I'm going to talk about wisdom this morning. I'll explain wisdom to you a little more. But when I look at the Bible, that two-word title, get wisdom, I love sports. I coached baseball, I coached basketball, I coached soccer, dozens and dozens and dozens of soccer teams, 70, 80 different soccer teams I coached in my day. I have to tell you, one of the things, when I was coaching in middle school and high school soccer teams, I have to say something you heard me say constantly. I mean, I was on the sideline as a coach constantly saying this about the ball. Get the ball. Playing soccer, I said, get the ball. I'd have all these guys that are staring at the ball, and I'm thinking, don't stare at the ball, get the ball. They're watching the ball. I said, get the ball. Go get the ball. Now, if you're going to be a good soccer player, you can't stand there and watch. You're moving with the ball. You're watching where the ball's going. And anybody that's ever played soccer, you got to get the ball. You can't score unless you get the ball. You can admire the ball all you want, but get the ball. You can watch other people with the ball, but if they've got the ball, that's not helping you. You need to get the ball. And folks, let me tell you something. You can admire people that have wisdom, but could I recommend you get the wisdom? Get the wisdom. See, I've been watching wisdom. I've seen wisdom. That's fine. I'm glad that you watch it. I'm glad that you've seen it. I'm glad that you admire it. I'm glad you've seen somebody else with it. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to succeed in life, get wisdom. Get that wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? I think maybe the best illustration, maybe the best definition that I've ever heard of wisdom is this. Wisdom is the ability to see life through the eyes of God. In other words, you're seeing life the way God sees it. God has a little different perspective on things than you and I. Wisdom is an extra spiritual sense that God gives us about life. Wisdom is a spiritual intelligence, if you will, concerning life situations. Wisdom, what is it? It's a reasoning that when applied is not only right, but it's right at the right time, and it's right at the right way, and it is right for the right reason. You see, there are people that can be right about something, but wrong about when they use that right. There are people that can be right about something and wrong about how they use that right. Life is a little more complicated sometimes than we allow it. I don't think everything's just right and wrong. I think there are right ways of doing right. I think there are wrong ways of doing right. And those levels of thinking are a part of what wisdom is. Let me tell you a very quick story. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, a man by the name of Solomon was a very, very wise man. And the Bible says in 1 Kings 4:29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Here's a man that has been given credit for having a great amount of wisdom. Let me tell you a story that took place. There were two mothers. They had both given birth to brand new babies. I mean, these were newborn babies. These mothers somehow lived in the same complex, and both mothers had their baby lay with them in their bed. It would have been much like a sleeping bag that they would have slept in, and they'd lay their babies with them. One of the mothers had rolled over on her baby in the night and suffocated that baby, and the baby died. That mother went to the other mother that had a new baby. While that second mother was yet asleep, she stole her living baby. She took the living baby back to her room, left her now dead baby with the other mother. Well, obviously, you can imagine the chaos that came from all of this. They said to these two women, you're going to have to take your situation to Solomon. And that's how we're going to get this thing sorted out. So now you have two moms. They've come before Solomon, and one said that she stole my baby. The other said, no, I did not steal her baby. The living baby's my baby. The dead baby's her baby. And these two ladies were going at it. And they went to Solomon and said, what are you going to do, Solomon? How can you resolve this issue? And this is what Solomon did. Solomon said to the captain of his guard, pull out your sword. He said, put that living baby right there on the table. We're going to solve the problem. We'll cut the baby in half. I'll give each mom half a baby. The mom that was lying, the mom that had stolen the baby, she said, okay, fine. The real mother said, oh, no. She can keep the baby. She can keep the baby. And Solomon said, he was wise. He said, the mom that spared the baby's life, even at her expense, that's the real mom. Give her the baby. And the Bible says it. The entire world heard about the wisdom of Solomon. Boy, he pretty good insight. He solved the problem in a powerful way. Now, just so y'all know, there's no book out there about, you know, in law, how you solve a problem like that. But God gave him wisdom. He gave him an insight, an ability to solve problems, an ability to take what's right and use right rightly. Now, folks, I think there are a lot of people under the sound of my voice that understand right. But if you want to go up a level in life, if you want to be more successful in life, it's not just knowing right, it's the right use of right. And not the wrong use of right. It's the timing of right. It's the dosage of right. And there's a little bit more to successful Christian living than just knowing the difference between right and wrong. And I think God wants to give us the timing of right, the dosage of right, the wording of right. You know, there are right and wrong ways to tell someone the right thing. Some people just don't use wisdom in their speech. Now, you take, for instance, I think many young people graduate from high school and college, and maybe with academic honors, but with very little spiritual wisdom. You know that you can be brilliant, yet stupid, all wrapped up in one. I know people that didn't get real good grades in school, but they did have spiritual common sense and wisdom, and they do better in life sometimes than folks that would be tested at the genius level, but yet didn't have that wisdom of God. I think you ought to strive for high academic achievement, but if that's all you get and you don't get the wisdom that goes along with it, you could be dangerous to yourself. God puts a high value on wisdom. In Proverbs 8:11 it says, for wisdom is better than rubies. God says wisdom makes us like the kings and queens of spiritual common sense. Proverbs 4:9 says, she, in reference to wisdom, shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she shall deliver to thee. Wisdom is very important. Wisdom is the principal thing. In your life, I would ask the question, where's the beef? Where's the beef? Are you wise about what you do? I think there are people that they jump into situations and they do things. And your intent was good, but your timing was terrible. Your intent was sincere. But the way you did what you did was not the smartest way of doing it. I say to you, get wisdom. I think I can help you if you will let God increase the wisdom in your life. I just call the sermon, Get Wisdom. Now, I realize the humidity is high. I realize you're weary. If you'll listen to me, I'm going to teach the Bible. I'm going to teach it somewhat rapidly. But for some of you, if you will get what I'm telling you, you're going to minimize some of the stresses in your life. You're going to help. You're going to finally feel like you have a grasp on some solutions in life. And the way you get those proper solutions is through the Word of God and the wisdom of the God of the Word. Stay with me, if you will. You say, how do you get wisdom, preacher? How do you get it? First of all, the Bible teaches you'll get wisdom by knowing the Bible. Knowing the Bible. Listen, if you will. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. It says to get wisdom, if you'll know the Scriptures are able to make you wise. In other words, folks, it's not a matter of just hearing the Word of God. It's knowing the Word of God. That you get to know the Word of God. You learn how to use it in your life. The Bible is the wisdom dictionary. The Bible is the encyclopedia of God's wisdom. The Bible is better than the internet. You get more by tapping into the Holy Ghost of God than you'll get by tapping into Google. And too many of you, you go to the internet to get your life's problem answers when you should have tapped into the Word of God. Look, the Bible puts all the libraries in the world to shame when it comes to its ability to influence powerful, successful decisions. You say, how can I get wisdom? Know the Bible. There's no way around it. Some of you think you're smart, but you never read your Bible. You're going to be offended with me, but you just have to take it. You're not as smart as what you think. When you're smart outside of the Word of God, that's not smart. That's not smart. That'll get you in messes. So, knowing the Bible will help you to get this thing called wisdom. And remember, where's the beef? What's the principal thing, this thing called wisdom? How else? You say, how can I get wisdom, preacher? Know Jesus. Amen. Know Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians 2:3, in whom, speaking of Jesus, are hid all the treasures of wisdom. The Bible says in Jesus is the treasure of wisdom. So, if you're not saved, I'd get saved. That's a good start in knowing Jesus. But folks, some of you, you hear about Jesus and you're saved, but you don't have a personal relationship with Him. I want to recommend that you get close to Jesus. I want you not don't just have an education about Him, but know Him personally, if I may, intimately. I tell you what some of you need. You need to be best friends with Jesus. You say, how can I get wisdom? Know the Bible. How can I get wisdom? Become best friends with Jesus Christ. See, some of you, you know the name. You hear about Him. You admire Him. But if I asked, who's your best friend on Facebook? You wouldn't feel bad putting 50 human beings' names in there. I think I can say this sincerely. I love my wife. I love my friends. I love my children. My best friend is Jesus Christ. He's my best friend. He's all the way at the top of my friend list. And if you want wisdom, know the Bible. If you want wisdom, know the Word of God. Know Jesus. Hey, you say, preacher, what else? What else? How can I get this wisdom that I need to help me with the decisions of life and help me to do it God's way, at the right time, in the right dosages, and not the wrong way, but the good way, the smartest way? You know, all decisions are not good and bad. Some are good, better, and best. And some of you are very good at making a good decision, but why just make a good decision? Why wouldn't you want to make an excellent decision? And there is a difference in an excellent decision and just a good decision. And we as Christians ought to want to find the very best thing that we could do, not just something that we could do. You say, how can I get wisdom? Ask for it. Ask for it. The Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. A prayer life is a must. God is telling you to pray. I think you ought to pray before you make decisions. But if I were you, I'd be asking for the wisdom to make those decisions. I pray every day of my life, and frequently I pray that God would give me wisdom. You say, what is that? It's not just a knowledge of right and wrong. It's the when, the where, the how. It makes all the difference in the world. You ever talk to someone and they share an angle with something with you and you say, I hadn't thought of that. It may be that that person has a touch of wisdom that it unfolds spiritual possibilities that are more excellent than just the average good in a decision. If wisdom is the principal thing, then shouldn't we be asking for wisdom? Some of you dads, where you're ready to pull your hair out, you say, oh, what am I going to do with that kid? Let me recommend something to you. Start begging God for wisdom about raising your kids. You say, well, I know the difference between right and wrong. I told you. I believe I sit or stand this morning in a household of people that know. We know the difference between right and wrong. But wait a minute, it's not just right and wrong. It's the when of the right. It's the how much of the right. It's what's the proper application of that right. And that's what wisdom will help you to develop. Hey, ask God for wisdom. I think the two prayers that I pray, well, I should probably say it this way. Three prayers I pray the most in my life is God give me wisdom, God give me love, and God give me power. I want the power of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God, and I want the love of Jesus in my life. I pray for those things constantly. You say, why? Well, wisdom is the principal thing. Hey, Christian, where's the beef? Where's the beef? Are you all pickle, ketchup, mustard? You all bread? The average Christian's predominantly bread. We ought to be beef. There ought to be more to it. There ought to be more meat to our spiritual insight than what there is. We're so limited. We're almost blinded. And it's not a wicked blindness. It's a good blindness, but it's virtually a limited sight that we have. So, you say, how can I get wisdom? I get it by knowing the Bible. I get it by getting close to Jesus. I get it by asking for wisdom. I've got to hurry. You get it by living righteously. The Bible says in Proverbs 2:7, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Righteous living. Hey, right living is rewarded with right thinking. And that's what God is saying. Right living will be rewarded with right thinking. If you know, if there are things in your life, you know they should not be there, and you're not living right, you are limiting your ability to think right. They're just going to be connected. You say, why? I don't know. God just said that. I didn't write the Bible. I just preached the Bible. And He says here, He laid up sound wisdom for the righteous. The people that do right will think better for God. And don't just not live wrong, live right. And it's not just the absence of wrong in your life that God's concerned about. He doesn't want you just to take wrong out. He wants you to put right in. And so, you live right. That'll give you wisdom. You say, what else? What else could give us wisdom? The Bible teaches if we'll let people correct us and have a good attitude while they do it, if we'll take correction and have a good attitude when correction comes our way, it will increase our wisdom. Proverbs 29:15 says this, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. What's it talking about? When correction comes, if we'll take correction right, God then will increase our wisdom. People who cannot be corrected are not people that are wise like they ought to be wise. Correction, the Bible teaches, drives foolishness from us. So when somebody goes to correct me, God said, I'll use that correction to develop wisdom in your life. Folks, foolishness is the opposite of wisdom. And the Bible says that correction drives foolishness away, which then gives us soil that is ready for wisdom to bloom and be fruitful. So, if I'm looking to get wisdom, I need to know the Bible. I need to know Jesus. I need to ask for wisdom. I need to live right. I need to let people correct me. And then let me throw one other piece of the puzzle in here for you quickly. The Bible says when you care about others and you'll witness or you'll win souls for Christ, God rewards that with wisdom. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, he's wise for winning them, but I think he becomes wise because he wins them. Can I give you a piece of advice? You say, I got a major decision to make in life. Go tell somebody about Jesus Christ and how to be saved, and then turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I just told somebody about you. I need some wisdom to make a decision. I think when you're busy giving God what he wants, and that's the souls of men, God can give you what you want. And what did you want? You wanted the beef. You wanted wisdom. And so, soul winning increases our wisdom. Now, so I've given you, very simply, how to get wisdom. Know the Bible. Know Jesus. Ask for wisdom. Live right. Take correction properly. Tell others about Jesus. Now, say, what kind of attitude is necessary in all this? Okay? Let me give you the attitude. The attitude that makes the soil of the Christian's heart conducive for growth for wisdom. You have to stay humble if you want wisdom. Stay humble. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. Pride, the Bible says, brings shame. The lowly, or humility, brings wisdom. Folks, our pride robs us. Here's what happens. If you're an intelligent person, say, I know this, I know that, I know this, I know that. You are limiting God getting involved and using his wisdom. Hey, you might know it, but I'd just be careful how convinced you are of how smart you are. Because in so doing, you may be limiting the wisdom of God. And did you know that your intelligence is no match for God's wisdom? You do realize the Bible teaches we all started and we were full of foolishness. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Every parent here knows exactly what I'm saying. Well, you're raising them kids, they start out and you're thinking, what are you thinking, kid? And you probably shouldn't say it this way, but you think, are you stupid? What's going on? I just told you not to do that. And if you do that, you're going to get hurt. Okay, we're going to the emergency room again. Third time this week. What's wrong with you, fool? And then they begin to learn. That foolishness is bound up in the heart of that child. But what happens is correction, the Bible says, will help it. Now, folks, stay humble because humility is a part of the key of getting God's wisdom. And I'll tell you, and I'm going to tell you why. If you're cocky and you're arrogant, if God gives you his wisdom, you'll turn around and you'll take all the credit for how smart you are. But if you're humble and God gives you wisdom, when you reach out to help people, God will get the credit for his wisdom that you just used in your life in helping someone. So I think God is protecting his glory by looking for humble people to whom he will give this thing called wisdom. Okay, but what's the attitude? You want wisdom? You got to stay humble. You want wisdom? You're going to have to fear God. Fear God. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You say, what is that? Reverence God. If I could, I think you ought to stay afraid of the consequences of sin. I think if you want wisdom, you better fear him enough to stay faithful to church. Fear him enough to live his word. But stay humble. Fear God. Those things both use the word wisdom and say, here's an attitude you've got to develop if I'm going to give you wisdom. Let me give you something else. If you want wisdom and you want the right attitude for this thing called wisdom, you must listen to other wise people. You have to listen to other wise people. Proverbs 22:17 says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply them and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Listen to Proverbs 13:20. It says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. So, if you want wisdom, You want the right attitude? Stay humble. You want the right attitude? Then you fear God. You want the right attitude? Listen to other wise people. This isn't talking about intelligent people. It's talking about people that have spiritual wisdom. And there is a difference. I've met many people who were smart educationally, but stupid about life. I've met people that they know something about, I know people that know something about business, but they don't have God's wisdom on their life. And there is a difference in the two. So listen to wise people, stay humble, fear God, and I'll give you one more attitude that you have to keep in your life if you want to get wisdom. You need to keep learning. Keep learning. Have a desire to learn. Have a desire to grow. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. God is saying, if you want the right attitude to receive my wisdom, if you want me to believe you really want wisdom, you keep your heart open and you want to keep growing. You want to keep learning. Proverbs 10:14 says, wise men lay up knowledge. So, look, hungry, the word hungry is what comes to my mind. Stay hungry for wisdom. Stay hungry for growth. And you say, why is this? I think it is a tenderness of the will. God wants your will to stay tender. And if you will stay tender in your desire, God could give you wisdom. Hey, learn from your mistakes. Learn from the mistakes of others. But one of the attitudes for wisdom is that you just keep on learning. So, let me review. Let me tell you what we've said so far today. You say, how can I get wisdom? Know the Bible. Know Jesus. Ask for wisdom. Live right. Let people correct you and with a good attitude. Witness for Christ. You say, well, what kind of attitude goes along with this? Stay humble. Fear God. Prove it by obedience. Listen to other wise men and keep wanting to learn. Don't think you know it all. Think you want to learn God's way. And then, let me give you a couple of benefits to wisdom, and we'll be done. You say, what do I get out of this? Well, first of all, you'll become an achiever spiritually and an achiever in life. Proverbs 24:5 says, a wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth in strength. Here, God is bundling up a little lesson about wisdom here, and he says, I will increase your strength. Do you know what some of us need? We need our decision-making strength to be increased. Well, he said, wisdom increaseth strength. Decision-making strength, insight strength, where does it come from? It comes from wisdom. One of the benefits of wisdom is that you're going to achieve a strength that you did not have before. There are times I'll counsel someone and they'll be facing a very frustrating situation. And I'll show them an angle on the situation that they had not thought of. And they say, wow, no, I'll be okay. Now I see that. You know what happened? The right angle strengthened them. It's only words. What was it? It was God getting involved, explaining an approach to the situation that was a perception from God's point of view, and we go, oh, well, if God sees it that way, we're going to be fine. We're going to be fine. If that's how God sees it, I think it's going to be all right. It's all going to turn out fine. But I'll tell you what happens. When you don't have God's perception on it, you and I will have ourselves scared to death. We'll make a mess for ourselves. Why? Because wisdom helps you to see it God's way. So, what's the benefit of this thing called wisdom? It'll increase your strength or your achievement in life. Hey, listen to this, and you'll like this. You'll have less conflict among people in life if you'll get wisdom. Less conflict. Proverbs 29:8 says, scornful men bring a city to a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. Well, folks, let me tell you something. Everybody here, from here to here in this entire auditorium, you better get wisdom. If not, you'll have constant conflict around you in your relationships. Now, we're going to have some conflict here and there anyway. You can be wise and the person that you're dealing with is not real wise, and you can't always avoid it all. But I can tell you this, wisdom minimizes conflict. Think spiritually before you engage your mouth. Wisdom says, should I answer or should I just be quiet? You know, I learned something. If Mrs. Owens and I are having a tiff, there's sometimes I'll just say, I don't think I'll answer. And there are other times I'll say, I don't think I'll answer ever. Because the truth of the matter is, in our flesh, we can make the biggest deal out of some dumb little thing. And if we'll just handle it right, it'll all go away and it'll never matter anyway. But if I'm not wise in how I handle the answer, it could go on for days over the stupidest little thing that will not matter a hill of beans in eternity. But because our egos and my way or her way or her way and my way and I'll stand my ground. The Bible says wisdom minimizes conflict. So wisdom will strengthen your ability to achieve. It will minimize your conflicts in life. And it will give you a richer life. Listen to Proverbs 14:24. The Bible says the crown of the wise is their riches. What do you say? Riches? Money? Well, maybe. But did you know something? There's something more important than money. How about relationships? If money means more to you than relationships, you're not wise anyway. You know, I have money in my pocket. What is that? It's a piece of paper. It's not more important than another human being. The Bible teaches us that wisdom will help us to have a rich life. Now, in Solomon's case, he got riches. Nothing wrong with that. If somebody has riches, that's not a sin. It's not bad. A lot of people have money or riches because they worked hard. And by the way, that's good and they're supposed to. But wait, wisdom, though, will help you to be rich. It could increase your finances, but it will definitely make you rich in your relationships. It'll make you rich in your heavenly rewards. It'll make you rich. You know, there's something that is very valuable, more valuable than what we realize. Wisdom will enrich your emotions. There's some of your emotions are a mess. Say, what do I need? Wisdom. You need wisdom to calm, strengthen, and stabilize your emotions. Like I said earlier, there's someone that will be struggling with something, and I'll just make a spiritual application or two, and I'll say, oh, okay. Now, if they get wisdom, God will give them the ability to figure some of that out themselves. So wisdom makes us richer. It gives us peace. It stabilizes emotions. It brings us heavenly rewards and helps our relationships not to have so much tension. And it might even produce actual riches, because the Bible promises riches for wisdom. Finally, did you know that wisdom, you make the lives of others more bearable? Your wisdom can make someone else's life more bearable, more livable. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:8, scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. You know what it's saying? Wise people that get involved in difficult situations help everyone to be able to get along better. Help everyone to get along. Wise people make situations better, not worse. You ever met someone that can walk into a tense situation and want to throw in their 2 cents worth to help solve it, and before long, you got a bigger mess than what you had before they got there? Because they don't know what... Hey, and it might not even be what they said was wrong. They said it at the wrong time, in the wrong way, at the wrong volume. The quantity that they said was overbearing. What was it? Might have been the right thing at the wrong time. Life is not just right and wrong. Life has many levels of right. And we ought to be striving for the wisest level of right. So, when my dad And my mom, I don't remember mom ever doing it, because when we had a meal, there were meat and potatoes. And I know if there were not potatoes, we'd live through it. If there were not meat, we were going out to eat. No meat, no meal. To my dad, meat was a principal thing. Now, folks, and we all understand that because it has to do with our bellies and food. Spiritually, God is trying to say, I'd like to put a big old slab of steak on your spiritual plate. You say, what is it, God? He says, it's wisdom. It's wisdom. Without it, you're going to go through life in an anemic, chaotic, confused way. With it, you'll increase. You'll make 10 times better decisions. You need wisdom. Get wisdom. And I'd say to those boys, get that ball. Get the ball. Don't just look at the ball. Get the ball. Don't just admire the ball. Get the ball. The ball. It's right there in front of you. Now get the ball. Get the ball. Get the ball. Now keep the ball. That's it. Keep the ball. Folks, listen. Get wisdom. Get it. Let's not let God look down at our lives and say, hey, knucklehead, where's the beef? Wisdom is the principal thing. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, how I desire this for everybody here. It's not just knowing the right and the wrong. Sometimes it's knowing when to do the right, how much of the right to do, or if that right maybe even needs applied at all. Wisdom. If you're not saved, getting saved is the start for your getting the wisdom of God. If you are saved, I've given you very practical, down-to-earth instruction about this thing called wisdom. Who here today would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I don't know I'm going to heaven. If you'll raise your hand, I'll pray for you. I won't embarrass you. You say, but pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. All right? Who here would say, Preacher, I do need this thing called wisdom. I want it. I have a desire for it. God has spoken in my heart about seeking after this thing called wisdom. Will you raise your hand and let God see it? Oh, it's so powerful. It is. I promise you, you may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. In a second, we're going to stand. The pianist is going to play. And once that happens, if you want to come to the altar, really, if you want to just come down here and say, God, I need wisdom. Lord, I've got some things I've got to solve in my life, and I'm not real sure what to do. I need your wisdom to get that done. I see the rights and the wrongs, but there's got to be other approaches to this. There's got to be a wise way to do the right that needs to be done. Boy, that's what God's wisdom. Oh, is it valuable? Is it precious? Boy, does the wisdom of God smooth out the bumps in life. We're going to have an altar call. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. If you need to be saved, you come. If you need to be born again, you come. We'll take a Bible and help you to be born again. You say, I'm struggling with my son. You might need wisdom. You say, I'm struggling with my daughter. You might need wisdom. You say, I struggle handling someone at work. Well, what do I do? Oh, ask for that wisdom from God. Beg for it. You need that extra level of God's insight. And I'm not talking about something spooky. We're not talking about ESP. We're talking about a God that will direct you spiritually through the Word of God, and sometimes through another wise person. They can give you an angle that you never thought of. Sometimes the answer is good, it just comes at a bad time. I want wisdom. I want to solve this problem, God, but I want to solve it your way. I want to solve this problem, God, I want to solve it in your time. I want to solve this problem, God, I want to solve it according to the Scripture. I want to hurt as few people, including you, as I can in this, God. wisdom of God. It's the principal thing. Dad said, no meat, no meal. I think God's telling us, you need to get the meat of that thing called wisdom in your life. It's principal. Where's the beef? You can't go through life making decisions off the bun. You can't go through life making decisions off the pickle. Nothing wrong with the bun, nothing wrong with the pickle. But the beef is the reason why you order the sandwich. It's the meat of the matter. It'll make a difference. One more time through the song. One more time. Have a seat there for just a second, folks. I'm going to tell you a story. I was asked to be a host one time to a man that has two doctor's degrees, and I was hosting that individual. I'm talking about somebody just brilliant. You know, use words I could not understand, and it was raining outside when we were all done, and I needed to get him to a car because they had a big fancy car to get him from point A to point B, and I was going to take him out. He had his umbrella, and he had his umbrella in his hand, and he was trying to get his raincoat on, and he kept on taking that umbrella. He kept on trying to put the umbrella down he had it in his hand, and he kept on trying to put the umbrella down the sleeve of his jacket while he was trying to get his raincoat on. And I watched, and I was kind of thinking, you know, he's got two doctor's degrees, and I'm just a dumb country boy, and I really want him to get that jacket on because it is raining outside. And finally I said, hey, Doc, could I hold your umbrella while you put your coat on? He said, brilliant, 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 Brother Owens. He handed me that umbrella. He got his raincoat on. I handed him his umbrella back. He said, you are so wise. I'm thinking, there, at that moment, extreme intelligence, powerful education, but didn't know how to come in out of the rain. I know people that are extremely smart about a lot of things, but there's a spiritual common sense that they don't have because of a lack of a connection with the one that knows everything. And I admire intelligent people. I think you ought to get all the education you can. But I know some country boys that have no education that are spiritually more wise than some brilliant people. There's a, common sense is not so common anymore. And even in the church, spiritual common sense is just not so common anymore.